All right, we are in a very interesting study to me. Brother Dan Huffines told me that he thought the book of Joshua was perhaps his favorite book in the Old Testament. It is a great book. It's a book about battles, but it's a book about victories. There are certain defeats in the book as well. Sort of reminds you of life. There are defeats. There are victories. And we want to emphasize the victories that we can have in Christ. Last week we asked the question, are you ready to conquer your Canaan? And we pointed out certain things, preparations that are essential if we're going to do that. We need to renew our covenant with the Lord. And for that reason, Joshua called upon, and the Lord called upon, the males to be circumcised, because that was a part of the covenant with Abraham. And they had neglected to do that during the wilderness wandering. And so now they make that preparation. We need to reaffirm our confidence in the Lord, and they're called upon here as they're near the land that God had promised them, that they needed to reaffirm their confidence in God. The battle was going to be His and not theirs. They were obedient to the Lord, but God it is that brought them to the land. And facing their Jericho is what we're going to talk about today. Another thing, they needed to remove their condemnation, which was called the reproach of Egypt. Perhaps two things in mind. One of them was when they refused to go into the land because they listened to the words of 10 of the spies that came back with a negative report. That's when they were turned back into the wilderness to wander around 38 more years, making a total of 40 years altogether. And then the last thing, they should remember their commitment to the Lord. So all of those things are very practical to all of us as we face life. Now, today we're turning our attention to chapter 6. Chapter 6, how to make your walls fall down flat. Israel has finally crossed the Jordan now. They have prepared themselves spiritually, and thus far they have followed the Lord's orders. Now they are ready to begin the conquest of the promised land. They're ready to claim for themselves that land God promised, flowing with milk and honey. However, like most things in life that are worth having, it would not come easy. It did not come cheaply. For Israel, Jericho would be a benchmark. It was at Jericho that they would flex their muscles and experience victory and conquest. Now for just a moment here this morning, let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of those Israelites facing this great city. And it was so well fortified. The oldest city in the world. I remember when some of us here this morning came to that place on our tour of the Bible lands, we saw the big sign as we entered, the oldest city in the world. So for most of these men, Jericho was the first city they'd ever seen, surrounded by such walls. And so it must have looked like an absolute impossibility to these people. However, they listened to the instructions given by the Lord, and they saw those massive walls fall down flat. So this morning, perhaps many in maybe right here in this class might be wondering, why are we teaching from an old book like Joshua? And why are we talking about battles and wars? It's my thinking that the book of Joshua is relevant, so relevant to Christians. We're involved in battle. We're in a battleground. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't go out with guns and tanks and swords. But we do go out with the sword of the Spirit. And God has given us spiritual armament that we're to wear when we go into these battles. You are a Christian. You've already faced battles. Satan is our arch enemy, and he's going to see to it that we have battle. We need to know how to fight. We need to know about the God who is able to give us the victory. We need to know how to follow Him, follow His instructions into the battle. So Joshua is very relevant. It teaches us these valuable lessons. Now, just as Israel faced these formidable walls of Jericho, you and I face walls or obstacles in our life. My approach to the study of Joshua this time around has been not only to look at it as a historical event, but to emphasize those spiritual lessons that come from it that are relevant to where we are in our own lives today. So, let's watch Israel as they conquer Jericho. And as we do, let the Lord teach us how to make our walls, our obstacles, fall down flat. Four things I want us to see in this lesson today. And all these begin with a P, so hopefully you can remember them. Number one, Israel had a problem. Number two, Israel had a promise. Number three, Israel had a partner. And number four, Israel prevailed. Now let's look at the problem. Jericho, as I said, is known as the oldest city in the world. In Joshua's day, it was surrounded by a system of two massive walls. We were privileged to see some of the uncovering of those walls when we went up that hill just before we came into the city of Jericho. Here's what I understand. The outer wall was 6 feet thick and about 20 feet high. But there was not only the outer wall, there was also an inner wall, which was about 12 feet thick and was 30 feet high. And in between those two walls, there was a guarded walkway about 15 feet wide. Now, Israel's problem was that they had a city to conquer, and they had to get over somehow these massive walls in the way. So as we go through life, we have obstacles. Perhaps you have an obstacle right now standing before you. Perhaps it's a loved one that we would like to see saved. Maybe it's a community over which we are burdened. Maybe it is a ministry that we feel very conscientious about, but we feel very inadequate about it. Maybe it is family trouble that has touched our hearts, caused us to shed tears, leaves us wondering what to do. Maybe it's financial trouble that just stresses you to the limits and your patience. Maybe it's a besetting sin in your life that you're having difficulty with. These are the kinds of obstacles I'm talking about. And you could name a million other things, no doubt. Satan is going to see that not everything is smooth in our lives. And so there will be obstacles. So we need to learn to look at our obstacles not as dead ends, but as opportunities for the Lord to work in our lives. I think that's what we see right here. You know, the Apostle Paul had an obstacle. You remember about it? He talks about it in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The idea, you know, We must realize that the power of God is made available to us. Now, we're not always able to understand fully how that power works, but it is available to us. And in Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 20, there is an amazing verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to think according to the power that works in us. And He's talking here to Christians. He's talking to you and to me. So, let's look into this and see what we can see today. One thing that I find so true here in this particular instance is what David said on one occasion. David said, "The battle is the Lord's." Seems that I recall that we sing a song sometimes with that theme. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord fights for us. The Lord goes before us. You remember, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that this personage appeared to Joshua. He's called the captain of the Lord's hosts. And he says, in essence, to Joshua, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. And I believe, and many Bible students believe, that this captain of the Lord's host that appeared here was none other than the incarnate Christ that we know about in the New Testament, who appears various times in Old Testament history, I believe. So, he was there to take over. Now, Israel had a problem. We've seen that. It's Jericho. It's those walls, those massive walls, that seems an impossibility to these people and would seem to us. But now, Israel had a promise. As Joshua and all the men of war stood there looking at those great walls of that great city, God had a word of comfort for their hearts. And so here God promises Israel the victory before they even make an attack. He lets them know about the conclusion before they enter the battle. Isn't that amazing? God wants us to win the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The book of Revelation is about victory. The victory of God's people. Those who are triumphant. Those who followed Jesus, who followed the Lamb, we're told, are going to win. We are even told the outcome. Now, as we face our walls, our obstacles, we also have the promises of God. There are so many in the Bible. And because we have the Lord's promises, we have a banner under which to fight. Let's look at some of the promises we have. We have the promise that our weapons are powerful through God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they're not physical. They're not material. But they are mighty toward God to the pulling down of strongholds. Isn't that talking about the obstacles we face? The pulling down of strongholds? And just as Jericho and those walls were strongholds, God promised them the victory, and so we have the God who is powerful, who has promised us. But we have the promise that our battles have all been arranged by the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Romans 8:28 is a favorite verse of many of us. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Then we have His promise that our ability is limited only by our faith. We need faith in His promises. Listen to what Paul had to say about that. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ
who strengthens me.
Isn't that a wonderful promise? To Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So His promise that our ability is limited only by our faith. Then we have the promise of power in the day of battle. In Ephesians 6, we have the Christian armor listed. The offensive weapon and the defensive weapons. And in connection with that, verse 10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We serve an awesome God. And His amazing power works in His people. We have the promise of ongoing victory. 1 Corinthians 15 in the resurrection chapter. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's something else. We have the promise that we'll never have to go it alone. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when He gave the Great Commission, at the end of it, He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And literally, that word "always" is all the days. All the days. Good days, bad days. Days of defeat, days of victory. Days when we're down, days when we're up. I'll be with you all the days. He does not forsake us. Then we have the promise that when the battles are ended, we will celebrate the victory of His presence. In that great promise He made to the disciples in John 14, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So, as we face the walled cities of our lives, we need to learn to believe in the Lord, take Him at His word, and then the victory will come to His people. So, Jesus did not save us to forsake us. He did not save us for us to be defeated. He saved us for the victory that He wants us to have, and He's promised to help us along the way in order to secure that glory that is to come. So Israel had a problem. It was those massive walls of Jericho. But Israel had a promise that God would fight for them and with them and bring the victory. We have problems, but we have His promises as well. Now, Israel had a partner. And what a partner. Israel's partner was none other than God Himself. He was in absolute control of the battle. The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "I'm here to take over." The Lord was present with His people. He was leading them. And He was the guarantee of their victory. The visit of the captain of the Lord's host, as I mentioned, is very interesting to me. And as we face our walled cities, the obstacles in our lives, isn't it a blessing to know that we don't face them alone? By the beauty of prayer. You know, when you face whatever it is, whether it's a spiritual battle, a moral battle, a battle having to do with your health, isn't it great to know that you have a body of people, your brothers and sisters, you have a family that's praying for you? And I'll tell you, the power of God is released through prayer. Prayer is a marvelous blessing that God has given to His people. Now, let's look at what these people had available to them, what weapons they had with which to face their Jericho. And we have those same basic weapons today. First of all, they had the Word of God.
We've been blessed by the Lord that He's given us His perfect, His inspired, His infallible, His inerrant Word. What a blessing this Bible is. Now, a lot of people think that when we look to the Word of God, that we are making an idol out of the Bible. I've heard many people charge, you folks are guilty of bibliolatry. That is, you worship the Bible. No, we don't worship the Bible, but we trust it, we believe it, we affirm it. Why? It's the Word of God. And so we worship God. We honor God when we honor His Word. And one of the reasons here for the great victory that the Israelites experienced was they trusted the instructions that God gave them. So what a wonderful word it is. The Word, by the way, is called Logos. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came and dwelled among us. Here, Jesus is called the Word. And you see, He's the living Word that gives substance to the written Word. So, we think of the Bible as the Logos. We think of the Word. And the Word speaks, this word Logos speaks of the entirety of the Bible. 66 books, every chapter, every verse, every word. But now, it's interesting to me that when we go into battle, we don't just hold up the Bible before the devil. He would probably laugh at that. But what we do, we take a word from the Word. You remember when Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness? Had he been studying the book of Deuteronomy? I don't know. But he used it. He used a word from the Word. I believe that God has designed His Word in that way that when we are tempted of the devil, we don't just hold up the Bible, but we take a word from the Word. And by the way, that word is Rhema. Rhema. That's what's found in Matthew 4 when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. You remember, He took a quotation out of the book of Deuteronomy and He used that. A word from the Word. Now, the word, generally speaking, is Logos. But when you take a word from the Word, then that word is Rhema. Word means a particular word from the Word. And so, if we continue to think of the Bible as an armory filled with swords of all descriptions, then this word Rhema would be a particular sword for the battle. And so this truth, I think, is illustrated by Christ in that wilderness temptation. So we have the Word of God. Here's something else we have. We have prayer. Jesus used prayer and the Word even when He was faced by the devil. Far too often we ignore the great power that's been given to us through prayer. You see, prayer gets the attention of heaven. Prayer is far more than just taking our little list of things before God, reading off our little want list to the Lord. Prayer is my entering into a relationship with my Heavenly Father. Prayer is my talking to God about what I face. It's about talking to God about what you face. God hears our prayers. He communicates His presence to us. We call Him our Father who is in heaven. He's spoken to us, given us instructions in His holy Word. So prayer is communication. And communication is always a two-way street, not a one-way street. So there is an expression of our hearts. There is God hearing and listening to our prayers. So prayer has the ability to get things done. All the things that have been wrought by prayer. So we've been given some pretty awesome promises in the arena of prayer. Here's one of them. God has promised to hear our prayers. Sometimes you might think, well, God doesn't listen to me. If you are one of His children, God assures us that He hears our prayers. Now, His answer may not always be what we anticipate, but God hears the prayers of His children. He's promised that He will answer our prayers in His own time, as His will is. That's why we need to pray that His will be done in heaven and on earth as it is in heaven. God has promised that He will help us when we pray. It is said that the Holy Spirit helps us in our praying. When we can't audibilize or express the deepest yearnings or thoughts of our hearts, our minds, I think we're assured in Romans chapter 8, 26 that we have divine help. God has taken care of our needs. Oh, the power of prayer. One person expressed that this way, quote, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they're helpless against our prayers." Prayer is a powerful thing. Go back through time. There's Hannah, Samson, Elijah, Elisha, Abraham. Just think of all of those and the potential for every situation through prayer. I remember when I was growing up, we had what we call prayer meetings. Y'all remember that? Any of you remember that? Am I going back too far? We had prayer meetings where often prayer was the central idea. Now, we need to study our Bibles, and I have no objection to Bible study. We're in Bible study right now. But mark it down. Churches, individuals ought to be marked by prayer. The early church was. They continued steadfastly in prayer. So what we're talking about is all of the things God has made available to us. Israel had a problem. Israel had great promises. Israel had a partner who was God. Now, aren't all those things true with us? We have problems. We have obstacles. We have God's promises. And we have God who is with us, who is for us. Now, what happened? Israel prevailed. Israel marched around the city in obedience to the Lord, and they prevailed. The absurdity of that command. Think about that. Here they are up against these massive walls. Now, here's what I want you to do. Once every day, I want you to go around those walls one time. And then I want you on the seventh day to go around those walls seven times. You see? And just as God said, gave those instructions, I've always thought about what those people in the city thought about these crazy Israelites. They had already heard about how they had conquered coming through the wilderness. And there was a bit of fear in them. But I wonder what they thought when he saw. All they could hear were the shouts and the people's marching around the walls. Then on that seventh day, what happened? On the seventh day, they compassed the city seven times. When they had finished the seventh lap, the priest gave a long blast on the trumpets. The people of Israel shouted with a great shout. And by the way, that wasn't a shout of an attacking army. It wasn't a shout of fear. It was a shout raised in praise to God, I believe, who had promised them the victory. And when the people shouted, the walls fell down flat. And Israel ran into the city and utterly destroyed it. This was the victory. Here's some reasons why they experienced the victory. They had the Word of God, had instructions clearly given. in His Word to them. They believe God. God said it, and that settled it for His people. And that ought to settle it for us. God says it, I need to believe it, and that settles the matter. Then they acted, they believed it, then they acted in faith. Hebrews 11 said that the walls of Jericho fell by faith. They did it God's way. It might have seemed strange maybe to some of them, these instructions. I'll tell you, God's instructions still seem strange to some people. But faith takes God at His word. They were obedient. That was the secret of their success. His way may seem too hard, too slow, and maybe at times foolish. But His way is the best way. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And God gave the victory. Israel prevailed. Now, I want to say as we close that God's people today, the church, is God's spiritual Israel. As Israel was the chosen of God in the Old Testament, we're said to be chosen. Chosen of God. We are His priests today. So, what kind of walled city might you be facing now? Face it with God. Face it in prayer. Face it with the instructions God has given you in His Word. And the victory comes to us. Isn't it great to talk about victory? Would you bow with me, please? Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this moment that we've had to open Your Word and study from an ancient book, but to emphasize a truth that continues, that victory comes through our faith. Let us, as we face our walled cities, our obstacles, face it with trusting faith in You and Your Word. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.